Previously on Quest Laid Plans.
So at this point, we've got Kit, Naraya, and Aster are all down. Once Quaris is done sort of tremoring the earth, Aveline, you notice that lying at your feet is Porla.
Hey, Jamie, do you want to bring her up, force her to do some high-level cleric shit, and then euthanize her?
I reach down and I give her a hand up, and I kind of can't decide if I want to hug her or slap her.
Aveline, listen to me. It's working somehow. I have the super aura of life. God, I wish I gave it a cooler name. Just stay within 10 feet of me and you can't die, okay? We're gonna figure this out. Just don't let Quaris get to that egg. Everything ends if she gets to that egg. What is Porla doing right now? Brex was trying to explain to me what the fuck is happening.
She's inside of a dinosaur because she thinks it's gonna fix things.
She's trying to bring you back.
Why?
It hasn't been a great 10 years.
Oh no. Porla. And the two of you wake up.
I spit out a bit of blood. Are you done trying to play God? And are you gonna help us fix this? Also, what the fuck is this egg?
There's still a hole left from where Quaris was, which is fairly large considering her size.
Everyone come join me in this hole!
As the temple shakes even more violently in light of you making contact with subterranean Quaris, you can feel it growing taller by a huge lurch, and I need everyone except for Kit and Windswip to make a dexterity saving throw.
So I'm down. I say, hey everyone, come join me in this hole! And I fall. Just like the top half of my body is dangling into the hole.
Welcome to Quest Laid Plans, the podcast that asks the question, can an old party learn new tricks? I am your dungeon master, Megan Kelleher, and with me are five things you should know before adopting a snake.
I'm Maya Esming, and I play Windswept Palm, Air Genasi, Gnome, Rune Fighter. And what you should know is that snakes are freaking adorable, and you should love it very much because they're just the best. And I'm going to be adopting a snake. Did Megan know that?
No, I didn't. Oh my God. This is so, like, synchronicity.
Snake picks.
That's incredible.
Well, not yet, but in progress.
So someday. Exciting. I'm Philip Revelo. I play Kit Marpolo, Water Genasi Monk. And those Water Genasi traits are real important for snakes. They need the humidity to shed. So, you know, keep the humidity. Give them a place where they can get rid of their skin.
It's true.
I'm Jesse B. Kohler, playing a human boy, golden boy. Get ready for getting hit on all the time, my boy. You got that snake on you? Look out. Esther Miffian's sorcerer.
I'm Jamie Hathaway, playing Aveline Yavri Skywatcher. Aveline definitely would have a bag of tiny frozen mice embryos in her freezer to feed her pet snake. That's the only thing I've learned from having multiple friends who own snakes, is you have a freezer full of tiny mice.
And appearing on this episode as the freezer full of tiny mice, I am Nedamarie Vocheva, playing Naraya Winsworn in your halfling wizard rogue. Still alive, sort of.
Fuck. Okay. Naraya, you're back in the hallway. You're back with Kit and Brex. And the second they see you, they like hug you and are like, what the fuck?
It's bad out there. It's real bad.
Chiron says, Porla should... Okay. Did Porla say anything about like us to you all? Because I have sort of a bad feeling about this.
I mean, she's been... God, not my business, but I'm dying. Also in a hole right now, but dying. She's just been going through what seems to be a decade of gay grief. And now we're here.
Okay, flattering. And...
right?
If there's anybody who's good enough at sex to try and end the world over it, it is me, but that's a big if. Listen, I don't know what Porla told you, but I feel like I fucked up. Listen to me.
You've been dead for 10 years. You can't.
No, listen.
This is not on you.
Well, Porla and I, we're sort of, you know, we hooked up a couple times.
Sure.
And,
we know. Everyone knows.
And then Porla was like, well, dude, let's be in love and be girlfriends. And I was like, let's fight the dreadnought and then talk about it. And then we never got to talk about it. And I sort of feel like that might be what's going on here.
Well, it's not like you ghosted her. I mean, you did. You
I kind of actually did ghost her more than anyone has ever ghosted anyone.
Wait, no, but you're not a ghost, though. Like, technically not a... Anyway, we all feel real bad, obviously, but also she's been not doing well. Sucks, I think.
So her plan was what? To bring me back and then what?
Oh, just, like, her entire plan is she's working on a thing where I think she got gaslit by an ancient dinosaur god.
What the fuck is a dinosaur?
It's like a dragon, but worse. Also a bird. It's gross and ugly. Very old.
Rex is like, fuck, you gotta fight more birds?
Yeah, no, it's...
Are you fucking kidding me?
You know, Rex, you know the shape of the bird in Teffin's house? It's that, but like real and a skeleton, and it's gross.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, just disgusting. Also, it's a god, I think. And it lied to Porla, and it told her that she can have a weird aura where if you stay... literally physically by her side all the time, you'll never die. It's fucked up, man. I don't know. And that's all I know, I think.
So she decided that I get to live if I get to stay with her forever. That's...
Yeah, it's fucked up, isn't it?
Dark. Yikes.
Yeah. She also gave us a speech. She said it wasn't a villain speech, but it was, you know, she was literally standing next to, like, a murder board of her plans, and she was like, oh, I'm not the villain, but she was very much the villain. Anyway, I think unless she's very nice to me or something, I might be staying with you guys. So that's all I know. What's the ethereal plane gossip?
And we are going to go back to the material plane.
Can I crash with you guys?
Okay, Esther, it's your turn.
Okay, Esther is going to help Porla up.
Okay.
Get up. Get up, get up, get up, get up. We need you to be useful right now. And kind of drag her with me. I want to drag her with me over to the hole in Uriah.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. She's really kind of small. So, like,
it's a free object interaction too, right? To grab.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
if she's a willing creature.
She's a willing creature. She'll come with you. I think it's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I want to bring her over to Mariah so that Mariah can get healed again.
Alright, so that has to happen on Porla's turn, but while she's in the aura, she can't die. So you don't have to make death saves, you just won't get HP back until her turn. Okay.
And where is everybody else? You two are climbing up the tower right now, right?
Yeah. We're about to, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll join.
We'll be
in
there.
A minute.
Okay. And I'm like in between the bowl and the hole.
between a rock and a hard place.
That's my hipster bar in Bushwick.
The bowl in the hole. I don't want to attack this. I want us to have to deal with more deck saves. Yeah, I think it's gonna be my turn.
Okay, Esther. At this point, you and Porla both see a massive bony skeletal limb shoot out from the hole, and
no,
it's going to take a swipe.
Guess we don't need Featherfall.
Is that leg? Is that a leg?
Yes, it is leg. It is leg. It is a leg action in many ways.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage. A leg.
Leg action. Leg. Just leg. One leg.
It's a man leg. It's not going to hit you, I don't think. It's 14. Does a 14 hit?
No.
Nope, you just see it jump scare shoot out and you manage to dodge it because it's just kind of blindly poking out of the hole.
Really, really impressive work, Porla. Really amazing job at completely fucking your friends. Really just freaking incredible. Just amazing work. Truly.
Just as if Naraya
snaps from the ethereal plane.
Okay, Windswip.
Okay, so just to be clear, no one's informed Windswip and Kit that Porla's back. We can't really see that that's happened. Can we see that the bony leg is back? Are we just fully...
You could probably see the bony leg.
Okay. Okay, so, all right. So bony leg comes up and Windswip's like, oh, okay, we gotta get back to it. Kit, you feel all right? Should we go in?
Yeah, that's fine. Just boost me up on the platform and I'll be good.
Okay. And so she'll run back with her movement and just do that pretty easily because she's about as tall. Well, I think she's even taller than the platform that is risen so far. So she just kind of like gently deposits Kit onto it, climbs it up herself, and uses all of her movement to get as close as she can. That's probably not within 25 feet right now.
Yeah, probably.
But is she, now that she's like on the same level as everyone, can she at least see that like Porla's back?
Yeah, you can see everything. Yeah, I would say you can. Well, what's your movement?
25 feet, a whole giant 25.
Right. Okay, so yeah, you probably could get as far as like the tower, but yeah, you can definitely see.
Okay, there is really not much. So if she takes the dash action, she can't really do much of anything else after that. But I guess she's just gotta get there. So yeah, I guess she'll just take the dash action to catch up. And I guess she sees Porla, she sees Naraya limply hanging over the hole. Okay, whoa, what the fuck is going on? And she's just got her hammer ready. And I guess that's all she will do. Porla, you good?
Porla is fighting. She's doing the bare minimum to keep us from absolutely killing her right now. But she is keeping her life important. Esther is like hanging off of Porla because he is at 1 HP right now. Just like bloody hanging off of Porla.
Okay, well, I guess we gotta kill the dinosaur first. Right, Porla?
Yes.
Okay, we can fucking do that together. Yeah, so I guess that's all she can do.
And it is now Kit's turn.
Okay, so can I see Porla from where I am, having just gotten
there? Yeah.
Porla, the bowl? Is there anything still important about this bowl that we should be worried about?
No, don't worry about the bowl. The bowl was just to conduct a ritual, and it has been sort of shoddily conducted, and now this is not the chorus I know, and she has to die.
Fine. Oh, okay, whatever. And I use my movement 45 feet. Does that get me to the hole?
Yes.
Okay, then I will look in the hole. Can I see anything?
Well, there's a big thing emerging from it. There's a big front wing appendage bone that is coming out of it.
Can I, like, melee the appendage?
Yeah.
Okay, so I will take... Yeah, I will take two attacks. I take both of my Screama sticks. I'm like, I'm gonna try this again. Hey, everybody. I look at Aveline, thank you for healing me. And I go and just double swipe two attacks. Let's hope. Okay, one of those is a 23.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, I can actually roll a d8. Holy shit. That will be 8 damage.
Okay.
Favorite number.
And that's all right, you whack at this thing and you see it recoil and shrink back down into the hole. And then a little ways away, I would say probably like 10 feet to the right of the hole, you see a crack form in the foundation. And then another, and then another, and then Chorus bursts out beak first.
Oh, wait, actually. Shoots out. Sorry.
Actually, no, that doesn't happen.
No, I'm totally, yeah. I thought that I can do one unarmed strike as well.
Oh, do it.
Yeah. So, like, I hit it twice, and then, like, I just, like, try to kick it back into the hole.
Can you kick it?
I cannot. I cannot kick it.
Okay. Phil.
My dice.
You just missed it on its way down.
You got one. Hey, you got one.
I got one
in there. It's hard to hit a skinny, bony arm situation that's flailing out of a hole. So, like I said, Quaris shoots back out a few feet away, so we now have two holes, one from which has just emerged Quaris once again. And everybody...
I think most of us are near the first hole, except for Aveline. Right?
Yeah, I think actually, yeah, she bursts out, and a ton of rubble just shoots up into the air and then rains down. But luckily, none of you are actually close enough to the new hole to get caught by any of it, so.
Is she fully emerged?
Yes. So cool. Now most of that side is basically crumbled in, and it is now her turn, and she is sort of balancing precariously on what's left of this side of the platform, and she's going to peck at Orla.
Ooh.
That is gonna hit.
I know we said we maybe wanted to kill her, but we wanted to do that after she had been able to heal all of us and we killed a dinosaur. We don't want the dinosaur to take her down.
We wanted to kill her.
Yeah. I think we force her to do a lot of cleric shit and, like, repent for her actions, and then we figure it out.
Yeah, so you see Quaris reach forward and peck her sharp, pointy drill beak straight through Porla's shoulder. And you hear Porla go, ah! And then Quaris, you hear a voice that is not Porla's voice, and it's not any of your voices. And you hear it, it's not coming from anywhere, but you hear it in your heads. And it says,
you stupid girl, you knew how this was supposed to work.
Dinosaurs are British now.
They are. This one's from Texas, but she decided to be British in the afterlife just because she thought it was sexier.
Really, truly reinventing herself?
It's the assification, of course.
Jesus. That's the title of the episode.
No.
Please.
She got all, like, skeletal and skinny and, like...
She says, you had to come willingly and you didn't, and this is what happened. Look at me!
And then she takes... two swipes to emphasize her anger, not even really looking at where she's swiping her wing appendages. And they're going to hit Naraya and Esther, or they're going to be towards Naraya and Esther. Now, Naraya, you're still down, but you're in the aura of life. And so regardless of what happens, you can't die. And so I'm going to go ahead and just not worry about it. You get hit. We'll say what happens is she hits you and cuts you, and then you just immediately heal.
Wow.
Now, Esther, you are also in the aura of life, so you can't die, but you can take damage if you're alive. So let me roll and see if she hits you. Yeah, that is going to hit. That's a 23 to hit.
I only have one hit point.
Aren't you in the aura as well?
You are, so you'll drop, but you're stable. Like, you have
she
zero.
She has, like, a permanent period of dying.
Exactly. So, Esther, you drop, but you are going to drop back into the ethereal plane, but you don't have to make death saves.
While I'm already in the ethereal plane, do I, like, get, like, a mild headache from being...
I think...
Get a heartburn. Hit even more.
In the hallway, I think that you sort of... lose your balance all of a sudden. I think you get vertigo a little bit and have to lean on the wall.
Ugh.
And then Esther appears beside you.
Just
Esther, what's going on?
I don't want to talk about it. Esther just
okay. Okay, we're gossiping about the afterlife. Hi, join us.
I do love gossip.
Esther's a messy bitch who loves drama.
Alright, and back to the real world. Okay, so we are back at Aveline's turn. We are at the top of the order.
Okay, so Windswip and Kit are both up, right? And Paula is
yes.
up. It's
yes.
just Naraya and Esther who are down, but not really down because they're in the super mega life aura thing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I am simply going to shoot some fire at the fucking dinosaur god.
Please, please.
As someone who is supposed to be, like, resistant to psychic stuff, I really don't like hearing a god speak in my head. Like... it's only only admonition is supposed to do that. And again, I am kind of reminded of this feeling of, like, having checked in with admonition and knowing that this must not be.
Number four.
Ooh, the Hierophant.
Oh, this is fucking rich. I love this. Okay. So the Hierophant, your character loses faith. What inspired this? The question is also, what was their faith? We know what your faith
yeah.
was. Because this has been sort of an arc of yours, I'm open to interpreting it
like, in a broader way of, like, what's the next step in the faith journey, as opposed to being, like, a one-off thing, because it's obviously not.
Yeah, I think there's, like, a formal kind of... because this is a point where I, like, I change out one of the adjectives, right? Mm-hmm. One of the adjectives I had written down was dogmatic. So I think moving away from this, like, very kind of structured, you get these visions, you find out something that, like, should not be in the world, and you have to go and deal with it, and you have to, like, put everything else aside, and, like, this is your like purpose as a person. I think putting that aside and being like, nuance is important. I have people who I care about. This, like, cool druid has, like, started to show me, like, another way, and I'm now, like, formally rejecting this, like, way that I have grown up. And it's, like, I care about my friends. I care about being a good person and helping them. And sometimes maybe some of the things that I'm, like, shown in these not dreams, maybe someone else can handle them. Maybe it doesn't have to be me.
Do you see it more as, like, clean break from the religion, or is it more, like, making your own, like, version of it that works for you?
Yeah.
It's that? Okay.
Yeah. And, like, maybe going and doing some research into, like, the other four of the five gods and, like, broadening my horizons rather than just being, like, there is one, like, correct thing and I have been, like, set on this path to do that.
So what would you change dogmatic to?
This is, like, a journey that I have gone through. And I'm just, like, maybe it doesn't need to be, like, just one specific adjective.
Yeah, it can be a phrase.
Yeah, flexible and animistic, I think.
Perfect.
I'm going to cast Scorching Ray. So I throw three rays of fire at Poirus. Does a 14 hit?
It does not.
Does a 16 hit?
Does not.
Does a 26 hit?
Yes.
Cool. A big 12 damage from the Scorching Ray. Man, I forgot that you have to, like, make spells hit. And then as a bonus action, I command Addy to use her Flame Seed attack. So does dirty 20 hit?
Mm-hmm.
So then she takes another 7 fire damage.
Okay.
Nice.
I like how the spellcasters have defaulted to fire as, like, the primary, like, damage dealing.
Well, I tried my cool psychic shit and Chorus was like, eh.
No, it works. It's great.
0 brain cells, apparently.
I am a circle of wildfire druid, so. And I do,
I
do extra damage because of the enhancement with Addy if I'm doing fire spells, so.
It's just a good synergy going on with all three of you.
You see this fire hit and make contact with Quaris's bones, and you see them start to blacken and char and flake away a little bit at the places where you've made contact with your fire magic. It is now Porla's turn, and Porla is going to do her super mega aura of life, and I'm going to roll for temporary hit points for Esther and Naraya. All right, this time you guys get 2 temporary hit points and 1 regular one.
3 hit points.
Just hanging on by the thread, the Paris thread.
So Porla does that, and then she sends you maybe one more thing. Let me see. She's going to do a bonus action 4th level healing word.
Nice.
Thank God.
Does she have mass healing word?
That's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Cool.
Mass healing word.
Good.
Yep, so in addition to being yanked once again out of this hallway as Brax is mid-sentence telling you, and then this motherfucker said... and you guys are back in...
What did he say?
You guys are back in... Yeah, you're back in the realm when you have 2 temporary hit points, 1 real hit point, and then you see Porla, so sorry about that, let me fix this, and then you see her once again work her healing magic, and I'm gonna say that, what is the range, 60 feet? I think everybody at this point is within 60 feet of her, so everybody is going to get some hit points, and I'm going to roll them.
Yay!
Let's go.
Esther is like, wait, take me back, I want to hear the rest of Brex's gossip.
Exactly.
I need the tea!
You guys each get 10 hit points.
10?
Mm-hmm.
We'll take them.
Beautiful 11.
Okay. It is now Naraya's turn again.
Okay, cool. I will. Yeah, fuck it. Can Quaris give me a DC 16 dex save?
Sure. Is it for a magical thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're doing another fireball. And again, I'm an evocation wizard, so I get to pick everyone who doesn't take damage, blah, 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 blah. None of y'all need to save. I don't think anyone's close enough to her anyways.
Okay, Quaris got a dirty 20.
She's still gonna take half damage, which is still half of 8d6.
Come on.
5, 6, 7, 8 of them.
Come on.
Oh, good rolls. Oh, good rolls.
Toast is big.
I'm gonna photograph this real quick. And then I'm gonna
lots
do
of sixes.
Math.
Lots of sixes.
Several sixes. Lowest row is a 3, but it's just one of them.
Nice.
10.
Dang.
25, 30, 39 halved to whatever the fuck that is.
So that's
19.
19. 19. I mean, if you want to make that case.
I'm great at math. How did I get 24 right. half of 39? What the fuck?
So you tell me what this looks like as you blast this dinosaur with a fireball.
I get up like fully dazed, use half my movement to drag myself out of the old hole, look around, take stock, see her back, and I think it's just knee-jerk reaction. Oh shit. And just with my offhand, it's not even like I like prop myself up and just fucking fireball out, and I'm just aiming for her ugly face.
Okay. And you hit. So by the time the fire clears, you see that her long beak and hollow golden eyes are just blackened. And she's going to retaliate with a claw attack against you that is, I don't think, going to hit. Does a 15 hit you?
I'm going to shield.
Okay.
And it will not.
Okay, so she swipes out in retaliation with one of her pointy wing appendages, and you throw up a magic shield and dings right off.
Yeah, it's just like, you know what my shield looks like is when you pour water out of a big container and it just comes up.
Fuck yeah.
Like sloshes up. It's just that it like distorts around me real quick.
I'd love to see it. Okay, Esther.
So, sorry, is Chorus is now fully on the platform?
Right.
So the hole that her like leg was coming out of is vacant again.
Right.
Okay. So first, Esther is going to cast Burning Hands at Chorus. So that's a dex save of 16.
She fails. I think this is the first time she's failed a save.
Great. So
Yep, it is. I was thinking about how
she's
it would have been nice if we had like a bane or something.
She's really good at saves, but
okay, I'm casting this as a first level, so that's 3d6. Adding the 5 for my draconic ancestry for 10 fire damage. Yeah, okay, that's my turn.
Okay, Windswept.
Okay, Windswept is going to do what she is best at, which is just try to fucking tank this motherfucker. She's going to run up to it.
Fuck her up!
However much movement that takes, I think she's within 25 feet. And she's going to just take 2 swipes at... Oh, is there, I know in one of the previous, this is a weird detail to remember from the previous session, but I think when she hit its wing last time, there was like a little bit of a snap or something, or there's somewhere where she hit where there's like a slight fracture.
Oh, the ankle.
Ankle? Okay, right. She's going to aim for that same spot again, just to, you know, while she's attacking, she's just yelling, "You already had your time in the sun, you bag of bones, it's time to go back to the ground, you're a washed up hack!" And she's just furious right now. Like, I love her. That's a dirty 20 for the first.
Mm-hmm.
Does that hit?
Yes.
Okay, and then I'll just roll her extra attack as well. 22.
Those are double hit.
So
fuck her up, Windswept.
Windswept got tired of being nice and went ape shit.
Her friends are going down. They're coming back up. They're going down again. She held a dead kit in her arms, like, what the fuck?
Turns out all you needed to get some good rolls was just to be angry.
Level of barbarian next? No.
Yeah, there you go. Just a nice little rage.
So first, oh, and she's doing this with booming blade. So again, you kind of hear like that echoing gong sound as it's enshrouded in this thunderous energy. So first damage is, that's a 2 plus 4 plus her extra d6 for Giant's Might. So that's 8 for the first one, bludgeoning. And then the second is 7 plus 4 plus 5, which is 16. Okay, so 16 plus 8, 24 bludgeoning damage total.
Hell yes.
Okay, damn, you straight up shatter this dinosaur's foot.
Hell yeah. And then again, if it moves away from her at any point, it's going to take an extra 2d8 thunder damage. So.
Okay. All right, Kit.
Okay, first thing Kit does, takes a deep breath, looks at Corla, and says, just asks, if we find the egg, what are we supposed to do with it?
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Corla, you are so helpful. Fine. Thank you so much for your contributions to this afternoon.
I would say destroy it, but she wants to break it open, so I feel like we shouldn't break it open.
Okay.
That's something.
That is something. Okay, I've been deciding between like two things to do, and I'm not sure which one I want to do. Here's what I do. I look at Esther and I say, egg?
Egg. No, Esther egg. Does the like a bro high five with Kit and like brings him really close.
Yeah.
Egg.
Okay. All right. So I take
a couple egg boys over here.
All right, so what Kit is thinking this whole time is, like, he's thrown himself at Quaris because he's felt, like, so bad about what happened during the Dreadnought, like, taking it on directly. But I think at this point he's realized, seeing Windswept and Mariah and Esther all doing what they do best, I guess he realizes that whatever he does, what he did at that time was enough, and he doesn't need to take this on directly. So he disengages. That's his action.
Okay.
He runs to the hole. He just jumps in. He uses slow fall reaction to mitigate any falling damage.
Amazing.
And just goes into the hole.
This is what monks are for. Running, climbing, doing weird shit.
Egg.
Jumping in that hole.
Jumping in the hole.
You jump in the hole and you are surrounded by darkness and you feel yourself repeatedly hitting stone as you kind of bounce between the walls of this tunnel curving, and eventually you come up against the lowest point of the tunnel, which is a, as far as you can see once your eyes adjust, sort of a ramshackle lean-to pile of rocks that you can sort of see through, and you realize that the reason you can see them is not entirely because your eyes have adjusted, it's because through the cracks in these rocks you can see this light emanating from the other side.
I think that's your turn, right? As much as we're...
Yeah, that is my turn.
I need the record to show that my notes say maybe egg will be our always.
I fucking thought that too. I'm so angry that this is the way things are.
It is 2022 as of time of recording.
And yet. Okay, it is now Chorus's turn once again, and...
Reminder, Windswip did just break her ankle, so imagine pretty mad at that one. She's also very tall. Easy target.
Just gonna throw it out there, Megan. Addy can also be hit. Addy is a target with hit points. If you wanted to spread around some of that damage, Addy's doing great right now. She's got double the hit points Abelina.
You know, what happens is that she once again dives into the hole that she's standing over. And so I need everyone except for Kit to make a DC 18 dex.
Well, she's going to take 2d8 thunder damage if she does that.
Oh, shit. Roll it up.
That's 9 thunder damage. And then can Winsip also hit her as an opportunity attack?
Oh, sure, yeah.
21.
That will hit.
That is an additional 12 bludgeoning damage.
Wow.
And then it's a dex save that I'm rolling?
Yes, everyone's rolling a DC 18 dex save. You, as you hit her and feel, okay, so it's like, first of all, so satisfying when you make contact with your hammer at the exact moment that the booming blade activates. It's like when you're playing a video game and you get a critical hit and the controller just vibrates like really strong. It just feels like, yes, this is good. And you feel her other ankle shatter under you as you go. So whatever is landing underneath is not a whole skeleton.
Nice. 20. She also got a 21 to save on that.
Okay, great. And what about the others?
I failed.
Okay.
Oh.
No.
Warlock failed too.
You two are going through it.
I gotta get that.
Yeah. We're like sacrificing ourselves for the gossip.
Okay, if you failed, you take 19 bludgeoning damage and half on a save.
I'm down.
So what's half of 19? 9. All right. So who went down again? Esther and...
The same ones.
The same people.
As we pop in, I just take Esther's hand. Just like, well, again.
Okay, Brett. What happened at regionals?
Scar regionals.
Oh my god. I love it. He's like, well, you're never gonna believe this, but...